The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will it give them in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what had been done. Truly I tell you, there are standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of our God, the source of all life, love, and light, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Work, career, vocation, labor. These words surface this time of year because Labor Day is tomorrow, and we hit the reset button this time every year. The doggy days of summer are over at this point. Did you get that memo? Yeah, I know. We all get that memo sometime this past week, right? The week leading up to Labor Day, right? It is the unofficial end of summer, if you will. Even if we have not been working for a long time, mainly due to retirement or due to unfortunate circumstances, we know that this time of year we hit the reset button. And our focus becomes more on routine and schedule, right? And for so many, this time of year brings a little more stress and anxiety as a result. And yet for so many other people, they've been anxious for a while, not because of too much work, but due to too little work. Over the past 4 years, quite a few of our parishioners have lost jobs and have found themselves being either underemployed or unemployed altogether, and not by choice. And just in the past month, we've had 3 of our parishioners lose jobs. So know that this community is here to support you. We will walk with you and provide whatever resources that we can do to get you through this. This is why we're part of community, is to be with each other during times of great joy and in the times of great distress. So we are here for you. We all know how important work is. It partly defines who we are, right? It helps us earn money so that we can live on and so that we can support others who depend on us. It can provide meaning and fulfillment for us. It can benefit others. We even see the importance of work surface in today's gospel text. We get a picture of how Jesus defined work. We get an understanding of his ethic, if you will. And we can get a glimpse of our common vocation as Christians in today's gospel. Regardless of what we do for a living, whether we are retired or actively working, and regardless of our employment status, this is for everyone. What can we glean from the life of Jesus and today's gospel passage for our day-to-day lives in relation to what we do before we hit the hay each night? Let's put our investigative lenses on and see what we might find in today's gospel. First, Jesus is portrayed as always keeping the end in mind. In the Gospel of Matthew, and this is the first time we see in the Gospel of Matthew that he does this, he's looking to the end of his life, his suffering, his passion, if you will, and his death. What if we lived our lives with the end in mind? Not death, although we're not going to escape that, just to be clear. I think Jesus could have done a better job of negotiating a retirement plan, right? He went from active service to death, and that's just not how we want to do things, right? So he needed to talk to his HR department, I think. But what if we looked at life from the end? What if we could say, I made a lot of sacrifices so that other people could simply live a better life? Or how did I cultivate compassion and hope in people? This passage also reflects a key emphasis in the Gospel of Matthew, and that Jesus is committed to bringing God's kingdom based on love, mercy, justice, and peace into fruition. And Jesus' passion and commitment to making this real for people, real for the oppressed, for the outcast, for the poor, the tired, the weak, led him to the cross. Because those kingdom values were in direct conflict with the values of those who held authority in his day. It might be easy for us to say, oh, that's easy. I can't be so giving, so committed, because Jesus had to do those things. God made him do it. Plus, God made Jesus die for the world. But here's the thing. In the Gospel of Matthew, it's very clear that Jesus is 100% doing this on his own accord. The other Gospels talk about all that other stuff, but not this Gospel. He knew that pushing the envelope to usher in a better reality for people and those values associated with that were absolutely contrary to the authority, and that would get him killed. But he proceeded with an unwavering assurance that he was doing the right thing for the sake of the world, and that God the Father was with him every moment of his existence. What do we do day in and day out that we feel just as passionate about? I don't know about you, but it's not easy for me to stay focused on what I'm passionate about because there's so many other things. We're lost in a sea of busyness, right? But what if we started focusing a little more as Jesus did? And really focus on what we're passionate about and prioritize as such. Another learning from today's gospel in terms of our daily life and work is that Jesus is constantly saying, one more. He was constantly saying that so he could say yes to life. So that he could say yes to love. So he could say yes to bringing about good. And he invites us to do the same. So we sometimes have to look at our own lives and say, what do we need to say no to in order to say yes to something? And you got to focus on what your passions are, how your life is impacting those around you, so that you can say yes to what promotes life. In today's song of praise, morning has broken. In that last stanza, it says these beautiful words, praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day. Jesus is bringing about a new day with his day-to-day work. And our identity as people of God, as Christians, as formed through the waters of holy baptism, lead us to not only experience that new day of hope and joy, but also Jesus invites us into that work of bringing about that new day for people, of working towards dismantling injustice, healing the sick, giving joy to the brokenhearted. We do this in a physical sense by raising money for Hurricane Harvey relief, by making dresses for children in Africa, by helping out at Pauline Stockpot Kitchen in East Windsor and Church Without Walls. We do that in a spiritual sense by coming together to be formed by God, to be fed by God at God's table, so that we can bring about a new day. We are recreating with God a new day, a new reality for people. And let's reflect on one last learning in terms of work as the people of God. Although we all want to be affirmed at times for doing a good job, right? And we also try to find ways to work smarter and not harder, as the cliche goes, right? But here's the thing. We can't deny one of the profound truths revealed in today's gospel, that life, and especially the Christian way of life, is wrought with challenge at times and sacrifice. It's not a cakewalk. Jesus, in fact, says in today's gospel, pick up your cross and follow me. Crosses are heavy. And cross, you know, when you carry a cross, it means that you lead to a certain type of death. So he's being serious here. So when we do stand up for what is right, when we promote life above all other things, that will sometimes cause tension. That will sometimes generate ridicule and rejection. Jesus endured pain to bring about life, and we will too. I can remember, as newly ordained priests, there were the Bishop of Southern Ohio, Bishop Breidenthal, my previous diocese. He gathered all the newly ordained priests, and he would do that for the first 2 years. We got a free lunch out of the deal, so it made the 3.5-hour drive worth it, I guess. And we would reflect on our experiences. And I don't know why they did this, but the Diocese of Southern Ohio at the time would always send newly ordained priests to struggling congregations. The congregations that had a special label on them, you know. So we're all reflecting on our experiences, which was really basically offering a whole litany of lament as to why we were where we were and what are we going to do and how terrible it was. And the bishop is listening to us bemoan and all that kind of stuff. And he's offering wisdom. He's offering compassion. And then he says, but wait a second, you're Christians. Jesus said to pick up your cross. We said at the beginning of ordination, this is not going to be easy stuff. You're going to deal with difficult people all the time. You're going to have to figure out what to do when the toilet is overflowing and you're trying to start a service and, you know, the sound system, you know, doesn't work. I mean, all these things happen. So let's just say when he invited us to lunch again, the tenor of our conversation changed. We didn't want to get that pick up your cross and follow me shtick again. But I want to be absolutely clear. Suffering due to disease and stress generated by life is not what Jesus is referring to when he says to take up your cross. He's not saying deal with those things. He's not that insensitive. At least I don't think he is. He's referring to suffering as the result of selfless acts that benefit others. So some examples may be when you lose a little sleep so that you can be up with someone who's going through distress, or when you don't go out to eat as much so that you can give that extra money to the relief of the poor, or when you give up some vacation time to go on a mission trip to help out people in need. Those are ways that we take up our cross and follow Christ. And there's good news in all of this. God is with us to encourage us, to comfort us, to empower us every moment of our existence. God is with us every moment of every day. We'll be singing at the end of the service, Lord of All Hopefulness, and each stanza focuses on a different part of the day and how God is there to nurture us, to guide us, to comfort us, to empower us. St. Francis, the 13th century saint, who gave up so much so that so many more people could realize God's love in a very tangible way, experienced joy when he was met with personal pain and rejection because he knew what he was doing made a difference to God and to so many people. So if he faced rejection and ridicule from his contemporaries, he saw he was joyful because he knew he must be doing something right. He had the end in mind. So friends, always remember that God is with you every hour of every day, regardless of how you spend your time. And be assured that what you do matters for all eternity. Whether you think it's significant or minuscule, it all matters. It matters to God, who loves you beyond all measure. Amen.